How weird.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kawula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hollywood, this is your host with the most, Nikki Kawula. We're going to jump right into this interview. We have singer-songwriter Ailee Mack. Say hello.
Hello. Very happy to be here.
Oh, our studio audience loves you already. Yes. Yes. And we both wore purple tonight.
We did. Good energy.
How come you wore purple?
Oh, I don't know. It's just a vibrant, beautiful...
You're like, I'm going to go purple. I was like, you know what? I want to wear my Kobe shirt. I'm like, I haven't worn my Kobe shirt for the radio show yet. So I'm like, I'm going to make some purple happen. So purple in the house.
Yeah.
Big shout out. So Ailee Mack, let's jump right in.
Sure, I'm jumping.
Where do you come from? Where did you hail from? Where did you learn how to do this music thing?
I was brought up on the East Coast in Boston, Massachusetts. Hello, all my Boston people.
What's the city? Were you in the city?
I'm from Medford.
Okay.
I'm from Medford, Massachusetts.
Medford.
That's the only time you're going to hear my accent all night, but I have to say it right.
When you go back, I'm sure it comes back a little bit. It has to. It has to.
Yeah. When I get really angry.
Really? It comes out when you're angry.
It can come out when I'm angry.
Get in the car.
Yeah, get in the car. Where's the car? I'm going to get in the car. But otherwise, I've been in LA for a very long time. So, you know.
Well, we're gonna get some backstory on you first.
Yeah.
So, where did you go to high school?
Oh, my goodness.
I'm serious. You know what? It's funny because it's like all these things, we don't realize how much they shape us, but they do.
I know. They shape
It's a music
you.
Teacher in middle school or high school or college that kind of sets us on the first trajectory.
Yeah.
And then there's somebody else that kind of picks up the pieces and shapes us. You
well,
know?
Speaking of that, so I'll tell you about my high school in a second. But speaking of that, actually one of the people that actually really affected me in terms of setting me off on a music trajectory is actually one of the nuns that was in the school when I was at St. Joseph's in Medford.
Wow.
Because she just threw me right up there on the altar and was like,
"That's
you're
awesome.
Singing."
That's awesome.
And then
she must have heard a voice. She must have.
Yeah, right.
So how old were
God
you?
God was speaking to her. I had to be like 8 or 9,
wow.
I think. And yeah.
You went to an all-girls school, I assume?
I did not. No, it was co-ed. So this nun, her name was Sister Eileen, she said, you're going to go sing, and you're going to sing in front of the church, and you're going to do it, you know, this big mass, and it was this huge, ornate church, and they were supposed to hit play and hit the music, and I was supposed to sing to this background music that never played, and then
whoa.
I was sitting there in front of the whole school.
Oh, my God.
And this is happening, and I'm just this little girl next to this huge statue of Mother Mary next to me, because they're going to do this big crowning ceremony thing. And I hear Sister Eileen in the choir just give me one chord from this huge, like, pipe organ. And I just was like, I guess I'm supposed to sing now.
She's like, what are we going to do? The sister's not playing.
Chord. I guess
let's
I gotta
play the magic chord.
And so I just sang the whole thing a cappella.
Wow.
And
that's not easy.
And at the end, which is not normal in church, everybody just started applauding.
That's awesome.
Because it was so
And you were
weird.
Like, I need to
weird.
Be famous now.
I really, actually, it's funny because I'm trying to get back to the spiritual roots, and I don't consider myself Catholic anymore, which I shouldn't say if there's, you know.
You just lost like 90% of my
research. I know, I'm sorry. But I consider myself spiritual, and that was like one of the first experiences of my life where I kind of felt some other presence helping me get through a moment in life, and I try to remember that a lot.
Right.
Yeah, so it's So yeah, that
well,
was
those moments that are like the sparks.
That was a moment.
You know?
Yes. Yeah. And apparently they had, instead of hitting play, they hit record on the thing. And so
you have it recorded.
There is a recording.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And you still have it?
I think it's somewhere. It's on like a tape, so I gotta go see if I can somehow.
You know what? I have a tape player that you can convert to an MP3.
That's a great idea. I'll
I think I bought it like Facebook must have known. I was like, I need to take some old tapes and put them to MP3s. But yeah, they have little converters now.
Yeah.
It's totally like a made in China gizmo, but it worked because I've been doing the same thing, like taking old like tapes of my kid voice just to preserve it, because otherwise, where is it going
to
go?
Oh my God. The things I used to tape myself doing when I was a kid, it's hilarious. It's
like now you've opened the can of worms. Like, were you doing like one woman shows at like 9 years old?
Fully, like, yeah. And then of course I would always like hit record and record my favorite songs on the radio. It was like these crazy mixtapes with me DJing.
So you had your own talk show.
I fully had my own talk show in That's my bedroom. Awesome. Yeah. So wait, why are you doing this and I'm not? I don't understand.
Well, you know what? It's like I remember my dad used to make tapes for his mother. Of all of us just talking and horsing around. And my brother and I used to fight for the microphone. Nice. So there's like a recording of me just like crying, like, God, I want a chance at the microphone. Which is like now very telling because now I'm still fighting that urge to always have the microphone.
Oh, yeah.
So you got into music at 9 years old.
Yeah,
did you take any training around there for piano or guitar?
Yeah, I mean, well, I started playing. I took lessons when I was four.
Playing piano?
Trying to play the violin.
Wow.
And I really wanted to play the violin so badly, and it just never clicked with me. And I was always a singer. And I think that's the thing, is I've always been a singer. Like, that's always been the thing.
Yeah.
The violin was so beautiful, and I had this teacher, and I swear I was like a terror to this woman. She was like, I don't know. I just could
not. She's like, you're not practicing. Are you like, I promise I'm practicing.
I think another thing, too, now that I play the guitar is like, there's no frets. There's no point. Right. I was just like, what is happening?
You're like, I'm a loose cannon on this thing. Exactly. Well, the funny thing, too, is like, it's like consciously, it probably helped your guitar playing.
Oh, yeah.
Because learning the fingerings, learning how to operate an instrument like that, especially at that young age, you're like, all right, this isn't it. But there's something like this that I'm going to like, I'm sure.
Once I got the guitar, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But of course, I took piano lessons. I did all of those things. And I love all, anything that makes noise.
When did you stop violin? When did you start playing piano?
Oh my God, I don't remember.
Oh, see, this is the good stuff. This is what we want to know.
And we had an organ in my house.
Whoa. You had an organ?
We had an organ.
With the foot pedals?
With the foot pedals. Wow. And it had this little, like, almost like this little, I don't know, drum machine thing. It was so cheesy, but it was great, and I would fool around with that all the time. I didn't actually take lessons, but I would learn to play whatever by ear, because that was just
That's
was
amazing.
How I have always played. It's always the easiest way for me to play. So always writing songs and singing whatever and performing musicals with my sisters and pretending I was.
Well, did you have musicals in school too? I assume you did.
You know, it's funny, is we didn't have a lot of that in school. And
what's up, MedFed?
I know. I wish we did. Actually, wait a minute. Hold up. I shouldn't say
The truth is coming out.
We had these things called parish shows.
Dang.
I know. It's funny because if anybody was listening who knew me, they're like, wait a minute, you forgot about the parish shows. This was like everyone. It wasn't the school. It was like the entire parish. So parents, kids, everybody. And it was crazy. And the guy who did it, his name was Ed Rooney, and I don't know how he wrangled all of these people together to do these shows.
Dude, that guy, was he the principal on Ferris Bueller's? Because that's Ed Rooney.
Yeah, exactly. he would do like George M. Cohan and like, I mean, like everything from like, you know, Sweet Charity to like Oklahoma. I mean, it was crazy what this guy was
doing. That's
awesome. Yeah, and actually recently on Facebook, a bunch of people were reminiscing about him. He's since passed away, but just like, how did this guy do it? And then I was trying to find all of those old tapes where I had videos.
Oh yeah, they're like treasures now.
They are. They really are. And it was just a fun time. It was a really fun time.
See, I find all this stuff super fascinating because, you know, he's giving this breadth of influence of art and music, and you're hearing like Oklahoma is a classic show.
Yeah.
Oh, so like hearing those melodies, you're hearing classic melodies. So some of those are just imprinted in your just
Oh,
young
yeah.
youth, you know what I mean? So as you learn to write and perform, those things are still part of how you compose because those are first introductions to your ears.
Oh,
You know what
God.
I mean?
Def
So
I mean,
that's why I think it's awesome.
our head, you, me, like, our heads are full of music.
All the
And I
time.
sometimes
All the
the
time.
dreaded question is like, who are your influences? Because it's like, seriously,
Yo, that
like,
question's coming, so we'll wait. We'll wait
everything
though.
from, yeah, I know, but it's just, I don't, there's never enough music to fit into this brain somehow.
Amen,
I don't
sister.
know.
Absolutely. I know I agree, but that's the beauty of it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like I'm making another record right now, and it's like, why am I making another record right now? This is crazy. This is crazy times.
No, it's
But it's like, but
beautiful.
we
I
need
can't
to. We
wait.
need to. We need to. That's what we do. It's like, so
Exactly.
it's like learning about, what influences musicians, even at an early age, I think is like what sets the trajectory for what you're listening to, how you compose, what art is influencing you. Oklahoma is still a relevant show. It was just on Broadway recently, and it's making this comeback. It won some Tonys for Best Revival. Those shows are classics because the content is very good. And there are shows being written today that may not be like that in 50 years. So I think it's fascinating when you hear about teachers being passionate about giving those students or those communities a chance to hear some of that music. So you did Oklahoma, you did what else?
Oh gosh. Oh my gosh. Now you're gonna put me on the spot. I can't
Yeah.
even remember all the things. Everything from like, some of the Disney songs I would
Okay.
sing. I would do like a solo and sing some of the stuff from Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty and Edelweiss
Yeah, Sound of
from Sound
Music.
of
That's
Music.
such a
And
great song.
even one time I did a duet with my sister. We did the Everly Brothers Bye Bye Love.
Oh,
We
I
did a
love that
whole, it was
song.
harmony the whole time. We just,
Yeah, no, and that's what teaches you.
yeah.
Simon and Garfunkel, that's their biggest
Oh my
influence.
gosh. I love
So it makes
Simon and Garfunkel.
sense.
And I
So
love the Everly
then
Brothers.
you studied in high school somewhere?
Yeah, so that's interesting too because okay, so my high school was Arlington Catholic High School. Arlington Catholic.
Arlington.
And they really didn't at the time, I don't know anymore, didn't really have music at
Oh, that's a
all.
shame.
And so for me it was always doing it outside of school privately. Which I was so privileged and blessed to be able to do that on my own, that my parents gave that to me. And
And
I
were you
know
studying voice, I
I
assume?
studied guitar and
Okay.
I studied voice. But really in high school I was focusing more on guitar,
Wow.
and writing music.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that was kind of
Man.
what I was thinking when I was that age. And
And who were you listening to at the time? Like, because there had to be what songs were on the radio influenced what you learned, and that
Oh my
influenced what you wrote,
gosh.
you know?
Well, what's funny is like I remember, I mean, of course I had to learn Stairway to Heaven.
Hell yeah. There
Led
you
Zeppelin
go.
was huge for me.
Okay.
I had to learn all the old like Def Leppard and
That's some of my
but
favorite
at the
music.
time like it was like Kurt Cobain
Yep,
and it
yep.
was, Stone Temple Pilots and Tori Amos and I mean, it just was like I
Classics.
mean, for me, the 90s, even later in the 90s with like Ani
Oh
DiFranco. I
yeah.
mean, God, her guitar playing. Yeah,
So
it's
good.
so like people
So
don't
good.
even they don't even know. You got to hear her live.
I
It's
love her live. She's so
unreal. The
good.
rhythm that comes out of her is
And it's
like,
so fierce, you
ugh,
know? And you know
yes.
what's great is like acoustic guitar kind of I had this love-hate relationship with. And then as soon as like someone like Dave Matthews, Ina DeFranco, Ben Harper, all these guys and girls came out, it
Yeah.
was like it became such a voice that I fell in love with it. Now it's like
God.
I'm never gonna leave. I'm always gonna be in love with acoustic guitar,
I
you
mean,
know?
Dave, that's
Yeah,
one place
huge.
where you and I definitely
Huge.
mesh. I loved Dave Matthews. Love. Why am I saying past tense? Love Dave Matthews. And the songwriting and I mean,
I
it's
love that you
just
mentioned Kurt
too.
Cobain too, because
Yeah.
he's like still a major influence and he
Yeah.
only did like three records.
Yeah.
You know, it's like not that many
Yeah.
records to influence, you know, people, but he just made such great art.
I
It's
mean,
like still relevant.
I was listening to Kurt Cobain alongside like Tom Petty. You know, it's like
Yeah,
you don't I don't
me
know what
too.
was.
Same.
There's just so
Same
much. Yeah, exactly.
Z's.
Which is
So, do you
cool.
remember the Tom Petty songs you learned on guitar? Had to be Free Fallin'.
I really liked Into the Great Wide
Oh, that's
Open.
one of my favorite songs.
It's
Great
so
song.
good. And
Yes.
actually, it also for me it was like I was heading to LA myself,
Yeah.
and yeah. Free Fallin', of course, but.
So you graduated college.
Yeah.
And now you're looking to study music. You knew you wanted to study music right away, right?
You mean I graduated high school and then I wanted to study music? Yeah. So
That's what I said. I think you just repeated exactly what I said.
That's
okay.
I thought you said you graduated college.
No,
I was like,
no.
Did
I? Oh, maybe I said no. I said high school.
So, I was either going to be art or music.
And what were you doing in art?
So that was one thing I had in my high school was art. So I did art for 4 years and
like painting or like
what
sculptures?
Was really my thing was actually drawing, like
that's
pencil.
Awesome.
Like
that's awesome.
Really all about shading and intricate like pencil work, which yeah, I mean, and I love color. Don't get me wrong, but there's something about
you should still do it. Do you still do it? You should still do it.
I should.
That's the one thing I wish I could do. I can't draw for the life of me, and I wish I could do it. You should do it just because I can't.
Right.
Seriously,
actually,
I'm envious.
That's a really good point.
You should do it. You should definitely never let things like that go.
You're right.
Because I wish I could do it, and it's like I doodle all the time, and it's just the same doodle that I did when I was in fourth grade.
You actually are inspiring me to do that.
See? This is what I'm about.
I gotta get those.
See? We didn't know you were a visual artist as well.
Yeah.
See?
So it was gonna be one or the other, and I don't know. I just somehow, the weirdest thing was I got into USC, but I didn't hear anything from the music school.
Oh, okay.
I never heard back from the music school.
And now you know they're just probably super unorganized.
No, yeah, what's weird is I got there and I was like, well, I'll just go and I'll figure out a way to play music. I'm just going to go to USC. And
So you never heard anything back from the music
school? I never heard anything.
They probably didn't even get it. They probably didn't even get your tape.
Well, what was weird is I like auditioned at some school in Boston and I did this whole tape and I never got a rejection or an admission. I just got into the school.
Well, so you're like, okay, I know they've got a music school.
I was like, I'm just gonna go.
Yeah,
well,
that's awesome.
Well, I knew they had cinema, they had music.
Yeah.
And I knew I wanted to like get out of New England. I knew I just wanted to get out of where I was. I needed to see something else and have more diversity and all of
right.
those things. And I just wanted to be in warmer weather, too. Come on, I'm just going to say it.
Yeah, because right now...
The winters killed me. They really, really killed me. It was, like, such a downer. But when I got to USC, I was like, I'm just going to audition for a jazz ensemble. Because I'm just going to sing, you know? So I went over to the music school, and somebody was like, hey, so that's on Wednesdays at whatever time. And I was like, well, I have a class at that time. And the person who was in this thing was like, well, just skip your class. I'm like, I'm going to skip my class.
Like,
right?
No, I don't do that.
Right. I'm like, this is like my first week of school.
Right.
I'm going to skip my class,
right.
you know. It was a cinema class. So I went down to the theater. It's crazy. I was taking a cinema class. I went down to the theater to watch some movies for this cinema class. And it was closed. And it was a big sign on the door that said, we're not going to have this class.
Oh, that's serendipitous.
It was weird, right? So I went down and auditioned for the jazz ensemble. And it was this like jury of people deciding or whatever. And this gentleman says, after I was done, I sang Oh Darling by the Beatles.
Great song.
And this gentleman, after I was done, looks at me and says, you know, did you ever think about being in the music school?
And you're like, did you get my tape? I sent it about 3 months ago.
So stupid. I was 17 years old and I was like all sassy. And I was like, well, I don't know. And exactly what you just said. I was
right.
like, I never heard anything back. I don't know. I kind of wanted to be. And he was like, so I'm the head of the vocal jazz department. So if you want to be
that's
in the
awesome.
Music school,
who was the head at that time?
It was Sean Holt.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know
and,
Sean.
No, he was probably was gone shortly after that.
That was awesome that you had that introduction
it
right there.
It was crazy. And then so all my classes changed and I was taking, you know, theory and all these things I knew nothing about.
Oh my
really.
God, that's tough to jump into that.
I know. I was like, what's happening?
It was like I had some background.
Yeah.
But jumping into it still was like, oh my. And you know what I hated? They do it at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
That, I mean, I don't understand why they do that. It's like, why should you have theory at 8 a.m? Who wants to learn theory at 8 a.m?
I
don't know any musician who's like, yeah, man, I'm ready for my theory class at
8 a.m.
No way.
Well, I had
no
a great
way.
Theory teacher who was very entertaining.
Who was it? Do you remember?
Neil Desby.
Oh, Neil Desby's awesome.
Which was awesome because it was like at least he was like entertaining and you'd show up and have a good time in the class even if I had no idea what the heck was happening. But I made it through somehow. that year, and I had a blast. And then I just figured out how to go out and play, and I just started. I think I had my first gig by the end of the first year or the second year out in somewhere in Culver City in a place that doesn't exist anymore.
What's it called? Was it called?
It was called like the Cigar Lounge at San Gennaro.
Okay.
It was
okay.
Like this little place, and
I was always envious of students gigging when I was in college because I was doing so much of the classical stuff, and it was like there's no chance I could have done that. So I'd see like flyers for people's gigs, and I was like, that's what I want to do, but I can't do it. So it's awesome that you did that as a freshman.
I think it was either the end of my freshman year or the beginning of my sophomore year. I can't remember. I think it was. I think it was at the very end. And speaking of my freshman year, that's when I met Pat Caddick, who you and I both know.
Oh, my God, I love him. I tagged him in the post.
Yeah.
I was like, you're going to get tagged.
Oh, we love him. And he actually, another big influence and somebody who just, like, pushed me out there. Like, this is what you're meant to do, you know?
And you're lucky you met him so, like, early in the game.
I did. It
took me 3 years to meet him at school.
Oh, my God. I did. And I met him. I took that one class. And that was it. I mean, he was like, you're in the showcase. You're going to sing. And that's kind of where I was like, oh, I can do this. Like,
right.
I didn't know.
You need people that are in the business, that know the business, to give you that push
it
sometimes.
It was awesome. I felt like I was flying, you know, to be able to just, like, write the song, play it with a live band, you know, like, having
that's
somebody
awesome.
Show you.
Do you remember who was in your band in the beginning?
Who was in...
Or a jazz... Usually they do combos, right? In the jazz program?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember, like, early combos or anybody?
We had, like, Rob Perkins was, like, the drummer. He learned to play with the singers really, really well. He was awesome. I'm trying to remember who else we had piano, and I just remember he was there a lot. He must have chosen that because he knew it was going to be great to play with the singers. Because we had a master class that... I swear, like, any of the instrumentalists who got, like, to play in the combo for the singing, like, the vocal jazz masterclass, they were doing themselves such a service to, like, know how to play like that and know how to, you know, I think I think it's a great learning opportunity for them to play with.
Well, I mean, the amazing thing is, like, you came from Medved.
I did.
And you got thrown into the mix with all these, and, like, the one thing that I have to give USC huge props to, it's the talent that it, like, the school draws.
Yeah.
From across the country, from all over the world, you get people that are, all of a sudden, you're in this environment that is, like, incredibly talented, incredibly musical, incredibly focused, and it shapes everybody's kind of focus in some capacity to some level, you know?
I mean, it was just a dream to just focus on music for 4 years.
Yeah.
In a way, it's like, I mean, that's like heaven, like, you know, and to meet all those people. And then I also met a lot of people that were like in the cinema school and I was acting in, you know, short films and, you know, like just all the creativity just swirling around. There's something so awesome about it. And it's difficult when you leave that environment, I think, but it's amazing while you're in it. And it's, I mean, the talent, it's just incredible. And I feel that way about Los Angeles, too, in
general.
Yeah,
it's just, and you were in the heart of it. You were in the heart of it all.
Yeah, I mean, and even just, like, wherever you are, our jobs or places, you meet people all over the place that are creative.
Yeah.
And they're like, I'm writing a script. I write jokes. I'm doing stand-up comedy, you know?
And you're like, man, this is crazy.
This is the best place ever, you know? This is
I love being around artists.
Yeah,
there's something about the mentality, the sense of living that I love too. It's like they really have soul, you know. It's like there's it's not like this compartmentalized part of life where they're in a cubicle, they clock in, they clock out. It's like, no, they risk it all. And I love that part of artists too, where it's like it's part of the struggle, but it's also part of the, you know what, I'm gonna live dangerously. I don't want it scripted. I'm gonna write the script myself. You know what I mean?
I do. And I also think that there is a misconception out there that there are some people that are not artists, because I really think everybody needs a way to creatively express themselves.
I agree.
And I don't think there's a lot of people that are super in touch with that. And then I think there are people that are like, I'm not, you know, they don't identify as an artist. So they think that's not part of themselves. But
right.
No. And I can tell you that from trying to shut that part of myself off for a little while. You cannot, like, it has to be there. Even if it's just free speech or whatever, writing stuff down, whatever it is, you need a way to do that. And that's that's the personification of that is somebody who really truly identifies as an artist, and that's why it's so inspiring to me. You know.
I love it. Well, speaking of your creativity,
yes.
I was lucky to get, you know, connected to you through Pat Caddick, mm-hmm. our songwriting teacher, and we got to work together, and I produced an EP for you.
Yes.
Very awesome EP with some of my band members, Jesse Stern. Shout out to Jesse Stern. What track do you want to play first? Let's play something from it.
You want to play something from it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do Anxiety.
All right. Tell us a little bit about this track.
Yes. So, the word anxiety probably brings up anxious thoughts for some people.
Funny you should say that.
I know. Well, it's just being aware of those things. The first lyric that came to me was the if the sky isn't falling, what do I do now?
Yeah.
You know, that's.
I love the melody on this, by the way.
Thank
it's
you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
It really is, and it's like I remember Jesse came up with some of the synths. And I was like, oh, this is like a perfect marriage of melody and sound and soundscaping. And
it's a beautiful collaboration. So the idea of it is, you know, I think I was recognizing that I was living in that, you know, when's the other shoe going to drop all the time.
Right.
It's like, okay, if I let go of that, what do I do now? You know, and if there is a calling out there, like, can I actually answer to it?
Right,
you know,
right.
Will I know how to do that? You know,
and ironically, you're doing it by
writing
the song.
Yeah, yeah. It is kind of a weird, like, yeah.
That's it, though. That's it.
So it really turns out that it's a gift to have that sort of anxiety and that sort of fear because it's telling you something. It is kind of like a spiritual voice or something saying, look, like you're going in the wrong direction or you're afraid to go in the right direction or whatever it is.
I feel like it's wild energy.
Yeah.
It's like energy that's put inside of you that's like, okay, what are you going to do with this?
Yeah.
And it can break you or it can make you. And it's like, I think it's like a catalyst for creativity.
Yeah.
But it's hard to figure it out sometimes.
Well, I'm one of those people that I just want to take chances and take risks and like jump off the cliff and improvise and all that kind of stuff, right? Like jazz. That's what I studied in school. You know,
yeah.
It's all about just like just
taking
go
a chance,
out and do it,
roll
you
the
know?
Dice.
And,
yep.
And when fear stops you from doing that, there's nothing worse. The pain.
Yes.
Where you're like, oh, I'm not even able to be myself right now because
right.
I have this, you know, and. One of the thing about this song that was so cool is I decided to release it. It's out there. You can get it on Spotify, iTunes, all those places. It was the one that I sort of released out there in the world. And it was so awesome, the things that came back from it. People saying, I had no idea that you felt like this. I feel like this.
And you're like, oh my God, we're connected.
Yeah.
That's what it does.
Mean, family and friends and people out of the woodwork and acquaintances just like, oh my God, like it's so great to hear, you know, I'm not alone.
Right.
And that's so cool.
Let's create more of that right now.
Yeah, let's do it.
This is Ailey Mack with Anxiety.
Yes.
I get mad at myself for wanting things I don't deserve. I fight myself for not having enough nerve. I drink myself to take chances and I run away to take the lead and believe in what I have to say. When will it stop? Will I fly? Will I drop? When does it end?
Yeah. I accidentally hit something, I guess. That was awesome. That was awesome. You know what was so cool about that? I've heard a lot of tracks on this radio show from so many different artists. Yeah. And I want to give a shout out also to Sean Jones for mixing the track and Joe Bosie for mastering it, because I hear a lot of songs, and when I hear it on this system and these headphones, to hear it so balanced is so awesome. I'm like, man, this is a good mix, because your voice is like in the front. It's like just killing it. And then all these textures, I was hearing the bass, I was hearing the layers. It's like, wow, awesome. Awesome,
yeah.
awesome.
I wonder who was the producer
Well,
on
no,
this.
But I mean, honestly, I'm not saying it because of that. Honestly, it's like I wasn't the one mixing it. I mean, I give little notes, but like you really hear, I love my team. I do love my
that's
team.
That's what I'm getting at. Is
the
that
team is so great.
One of the things that's so important about being a great producer is that you have the right team.
The team is everything. The team is everything.
That makes you a great producer.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I loved working with you. And
likewise.
I loved working with Jesse. And
yeah, they're all just such great, great people.
It was awesome. And what a great experience.
But it's
all
weird.
Of my anxiety during this song.
You're like, oh, this is all, it's not anxiety anymore. It's all love. No, but I mean, the thing is,
to get a singer,
you hear the true test of a mix when it's compressed on a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
When you like and that's the thing, I listen to it, like I'll have people come in from different studios and play me stuff, and I'm like, oh man, this is may sound better on big speakers, but this doesn't sound the same on this. And the crazy thing is, I was hearing the body of the bass and hearing that, and I was like, man, Sean, I've got such a great team of people that I work with. So shout out to them, because that's why I wanted to say that.
Yes,
because
and
they're
I
all amazing.
Got to thank them on radio myself, so thank you to all of you.
Yes,
thank you.
Well, we love good music. I mean, that's so much of it, is like finding the right people and the right team and really the right artist too, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hold on,
collaboration.
So anyways, you're gonna play something live for us.
Sure. So this one is kind of the answer to that song. It's about living in the moment and gratitude, and I can't tell you over the last like year or so what practicing gratitude has done for me.
In what capacity?
Oh my God, just it's life changing when you, again, you focus on that instead of the sky falling.
Right.
You know, it's not falling.
Yeah.
The sky has, as far as I know,
right,
the sky has never fallen.
But it's funny because it's like we worry about these little petty things sometimes.
Well, and the thing is I wouldn't even say that my stuff comes from petty stuff. Like, it gets deep, and I think it comes from just, I don't know, even as a small child, I was thinking about, you know, existentialism, I swear. I don't know where it comes from in me. There's something very innate in me that goes there, and it's dark. In fact, recently, somebody was listening to a bunch of my tracks, and I was like, well, what's the thread? You know, and they're like, it's kind of dark.
You're like, well, thank you.
I was like, even the one called Sunshine, there's like, even that one has a little bit of dark. And
right.
I was like, are you kidding me? I can't even write a song called Sunshine, and there's not something a little
bit. That's
tinge.
Good. That's kind of
so that's
kind
what
of life.
I'm saying is that's there's an innate part of me that is like that. And I do. I love a lot of kind of dark music and things. So this song is really the opposite of that anxiety, which is just like looking at everything around you and just saying, like, right now, everything's fine.
I love it.
Right now is all you have. So be in it. Okay.
All right. What's the name of it?
It's called Right Now.
Right Now. Perfect. Here it is. Ailey Mack, Right Now.
Story.
get here. I can't remember how. What purpose did I follow? What gifts did I allow? They say that the journey's the prize. Somehow it pales.
Listen to the Pretenders.
I did, yeah, absolutely.
That's very Pretenders-ish. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Thank you.
So what was it, what was the moment you were thinking about writing this? You were like, I want to just write something kind of uplifting, I mean, but still has some weight to it.
Well, it is, again, it's one of those things where, I mean, there's minors and...
Yeah, you got great chords. You've always had great chords.
It's like a, there's definitely a darkness in the light, and that's my thing, I guess. Yeah, I mean, I just started to, the way this was sort of written was I just started to, like, think about these little, brief little moments that had recently happened to me. So I'm looking in your eyes, and you're telling me stories that that's my husband talking to me. And I just, you know, those are those great moments where you just, you kind of, like, go, you know, up into this other atmosphere, just looking down on the moment going, wow, this is so great that I'm here with you. It doesn't even matter what you're talking about or why, right? We have our health. we have our love, we have each other, you know. And then the second verse where I'm talking about you're dancing here with me, I'm picturing, you know, myself with my friends at the Hollywood Bowl, you know, yeah. like you're dancing here with me and we're all listening to the music. Like,
aren't those the best moments? Those are the best moments.
Yeah, it is. And the band is playing from their hearts and we're all strangers, right?
Right.
And I love that feeling of just like being in a crowd, but we're all swaying and connected.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
that's what music is. And then, you know, this thing about I want to find meaning right now and you know, really feel what I'm feeling right now, whatever it is, you
right,
know,
right.
And just savor the moment. So that's really it. And that's where it gets kind of, and then at the end, it's all about just, you know, yesterday's gone, tomorrow's going to be too, you know.
Everything fades away.
All I can do
everything
is make
a
promise right now that I'll cherish every moment, you know. And so that's kind of where it just kind of grew, you know, and it was written very quickly. It was written like in my living room, and I just these little sparks of moments that came up for me, and I was like, "This is."
You should never stop writing. I know you took a little hiatus,
yeah.
but you should never stop writing. You got a lot of soul, and you got a lot of perspective.
Oh, thank you.
And it's like those are the two things that I think music needs, because there's a lot of misguided perspective that's going on in music right now,
yeah.
you know. And I feel like it needs that. It needs a lot more of that.
How about if right now I make a promise that I will never stop?
Yes! We accept that promise. Let's play another track from your record.
Are you sure you don't want me to play?
Yeah, if you want to play something else live.
Yeah?
Yeah, go for it.
Play one more?
Yeah, right. Do another one live.
We'll do...
We love that.
All right. Yeah, because I don't, you know... Don't always have that opportunity.
No, I mean, honestly, I always like playing live on the radio.
Well,
but
you,
some
you
artists
kinda,
don't. Some artists
kinda,
don't.
Well, I mean, you mess up. That's why.
But I like that.
But I, you know,
you
just
need
deal
you
with
need
it.
That. That's live art right there. Honestly, without
just,
that, what is life?
If I couldn't play live, what the heck am I doing?
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, let's do another one.
This, and this is inspired by you because you, know, you always like to kick me in the butt and say, "Go do it."
Go do it. That's right.
So I'm going to do, I might not be around.
Oh, all right.
And, you know, if
I love this track on your record,
go
too.
Well, I might not be around much.
You will be. You will be.
All right. Here
Here's Ailey Mack. I might not be around.
Oh.
Yeah, very nice. That's actually one of my favorite tracks on the record. It really is awesome.
Me too. And really when that one gets released, your guitar solo is the best.
You know what? I'll tell you this. I'll be very honest with you. I do a lot of guitar solos on artists I produce. That is probably top two or three.
I love it.
Honestly. It's hard to say number one because it's like there's a couple that I just tie. Oh, but that one's up there. That one's definitely tied for number one. So I'm going to say top two, top three.
Yeah.
But I love that guitar solo and I love it's the chords. It's the chords that shape that. It's like, oh, you did a key change, the style. It's like throwback, which I love too. And it's such a great, it's a great tune. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this. Yeah. You and I recently played at the House of Blues together.
Yes.
For your set, which was awesome.
It was awesome.
At the new Anaheim House of Blues, which is awesome. What's next for you and what's your release for the record?
Oh,
what's
your plan for the release?
And where can people find your music and you?
Yeah, so my website, aileemack.com, spelled AileeMack.com, is where you can find me, you can subscribe, you can figure out how to get to my Instagram, my Facebook, all those things, Twitter. I was thinking about this on the way over here. I'm like, oh, he's going to ask me what's next.
Well, you know what? It's like, it's good that it's percolating. It's always good.
You know, I don't know. And
that's okay.
And it makes me feel like, oh, man, I should know.
I don't know from my own career, so it's okay.
Well, there's so many things. And you know what's really next is just to keep writing.
Yeah.
And to keep. And to keep
creating.
Yeah. I mean, now I'm like, I should get that pencil out.
No, it's the truth. It's so
and
the truth.
I think I will be releasing some of this music that we recorded this year.
Good.
I don't know exactly when. And I should get an idea.
And you're really good about the social media stuff and promoting.
Well, that's what I'm saying is if anybody is interested, go to aileemack.com or aileemack music on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. You will know when something
there you
happens.
Go. It's there you go.
You can subscribe to the mailing list, but honestly, social media is pretty good. I mean, we'll see what comes up.
I
wish
like
I
that.
Had something to plug.
I like that it's ambiguous. No, that's not what it's about. It's like, I like showcasing great artists. That's what this is about. It doesn't matter where it is on the spectrum. It doesn't matter where it is.
Talking to you and sharing.
Yeah, likewise.
So it's like.
I love that you did two tracks live. You got a high five. High five of approval. Yes. That's Ailee Mack. AileeMack. Check her out at aileemack.com.
Yes.
And you can find her music on.
Spotify,
iTunes.
You can follow me on Spotify and then you'll know if I put something else up there. And
And you're going to hear a lot more music from this amazing, amazing artist because I'm going to keep pushing her. I'm going to keep kicking her in the bum to keep writing.
That's
because
great.
We need this. We need this. But on behalf of myself, Ronen, Ailee Mack, and all you listeners out there, thanks for joining us. We'll see you guys next week.